April 12th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is podcast number two today. And for those of you who jumped to the second one, I encourage you to go back and check out the first one we just completed with CJ Ziegler, a very accomplished storm chaser who's only 1 year out of high school, and also an accomplished photojournalist, having completed a six-month gig with Fox 6 and really, really amazing adventures he has planned in storm chasing. So, but now we're, as I said in the first podcast, we took a break from Waukesha politics. It's been our focus in these last few podcasts, especially with the election. But now we're going to jump back in. And I couldn't think of a better source to go to than my successor in the first district, a district I no longer live in now, thanks to the rezoning or
redistricting.
Gerrymandering. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. No. Yes, redistricting. Yeah. Thank you. This is Alderman Mike Krizine, first district, who's just been reelected with over 1,100 votes, maybe the highest ever in that district, at least higher than the, I think the highest I got was like 815, but it was during COVID. So that was a nice number. But again, I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home. I'm joined by my extraordinary producer, the mighty Max Martinson, at the WAUK studios in Radio Park on Victory Drive. And again, reintroducing Mike Krizine, first district alderman, who's coming to us from his home, a beautiful home in the beautiful Predominant Park neighborhood, which is we're really one neighborhood here. So, and at some point in our conversation, we have to talk about, I've been very lax in forming the Banting Predominant Neighbors Association. And I think Mike would be a great help for that. So,
true.
Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. The sun was sure deceiving this morning. I came back in the house at, I was up at around at 6:30. I'd come back in the house and put two more layers on. But now that the sun is higher in the sky, it's starting to warm up our earth. And there's a lot of birds out there very happy chomping on the things that they like to eat in the grass. Hopefully more grubs than worms.
Sounds great. Now, while I was out this morning, I walked the dog. And then I went and I picked up our taxes. And Mike was out at St. Mary's Church selling Kringles for the Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts?
Boy Scouts, Troop 159.
Troop 159. And you've been active in the Boy Scouts for how many years now?
20 years, probably 20 plus, between Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Sea Scouts, and Girl Scouts. I'm a leader in all of them.
That's terrific.
Great local organization, and anything to get the youths off their phone and outside, plus learning some life skills. It's really awesome thing to be. I'm very proud to be part of that.
That's terrific. So, did that that experience, has that served you well as a leader of your, you know, of the first district as the alderman?
It's definitely helped out with the public speaking. Once you do it long enough, you've been in it long enough, you help a lot of the newer leaders that come in. They really don't know how, and you know, like they always say, herding cats. How do you herd not only kindergarten all the way up to 12th graders, 17-year-olds. It's also adults. Adults need some encouragement. So definitely public speaking and conflict resolution has definitely paid off being a local elected official representing the city.
That's terrific. And, you know, and the fact that you talked about the emphasis on getting young people outside and in nature, and I think it's a nice segue into what we agreed would be kind of the focus of our discussion today. It's our parks. You know, I think you'd agree where we live, we're surrounded by two major roads. When you think of Moreland / 18, and then you have Blue Mound, and then and you have all that industry and retail and heavy traffic. But yet when you get inside our neighborhood, you don't really, you might hear it, but you don't feel it because there's so much green space. We've got three parks. Well, actually four parks, because when you cross the street over to Hillcrest, which we'll be talking about, there's a really great quality of life here in what essentially is a, you know, kind of a landlocked or a roadlocked neighborhood. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree with that. We're blessed with a lot of parks, and we have a lot of traditional homes in District 1 and north side of City of Waukesha, but we also have four apartment complexes, and there's definitely different, like your neighborhood, you have different diversities from younger to older people. And also older people now having grandkids, getting them outside. Hey, put that video game down. Let's go for a walk. Head to your local park. So there are many, many choices for that. So whether you're pretty much anywhere in the city, you're going to be near a park. So both apartments and homeowners usually have a park nearby.
And you know what I learned in my one term, my first and only term as alderman, was that we have, I don't know if it's quite a few, but we do have a few FHA homes in our district. And you wouldn't know it because they look like condos or townhouses. They're very nice homes. Right. But they are affordable housing for for lower income families or people that, you know, that need a break. And that's how affordable housing, you know, based on my experience as a former housing commissioner, is supposed to work. That it's supposed to be, whether it's multi-unit or single unit, it integrates nicely into a middle income neighborhood. Where you couldn't necessarily point, you know, a finger and say, well, that, you know, that's where the riffraff live. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but that's, you know, that's where the poor people live, or, you know, like some ugly American.
I'm sorry for laughing at that. Yeah. I've never heard you say that.
But yeah.
You're talking to me, probably the only riffraff in all of district.
That's it. You and me both are the, us crooked politicians. I didn't say that either. No, I'm just
local
kidding.
Elected official. There's a difference.
You're right. And I shouldn't, you know, someone that's also served in the Boy Scouts, you know, I should know better than to make a joke about that. So, but we wanted to kind of focus in on parks because, again, the jewels of our city, in my opinion, and the jewels of our neighborhood, your aldermanic district, and even as, you know, now mine, now that I'm the second, are our parks. And people take advantage of them. People come from as far, you know, away as Racine County for their kids to enjoy our parks. I've noted, I've observed. And where we're kind of concerned about is that, I guess for a couple of years now, I've been inquiring about the status of Hillcrest Park. Because in my first term, the plan was that they were going to retrofit those structures, maintain their authenticity, you know, from the Nike missile base, the Cold War era. And that one shell is going to be a kind of a pavilion where you could host concerts or events, receptions, maybe even weddings. And then in the second phase of this project is they were going to retrofit the tower so that it would be a safe viewing tower that people could utilize. And so, you know, when that's done, all of a sudden, I believe you have what is a major attraction for the metro area, a place where people can go and enjoy park and have events. And then also there was supposed to be a Cold War museum experience that was going to be part of this kind of that first phase that included the shell. And as far as we both know, and you can shed some more light on this, Mike, we're not even done with that pavilion yet. I know one of my last votes as an alderman was to redo the roof that I guess there were some problems or some errors by the contractor. And because it was a reputable contractor, we put our faith back into them and said, okay, do it over. And, you know, some extra money for the city, but I thought it was money well spent given that our parks can be a revenue generator for the city, especially a place that's been kind of vacant like Hillcrest Park was. I mean, let's face it, people would go there to squat or to smoke joints or do whatever it is young people do or people in love do, excuse me. But go ahead, Mike, before I get myself in trouble.
That's funny. So I've actually lived next to two Nike missile bases. The first one I lived at was in the northwest side of Milwaukee, where I was born. We were literally, my backyard was a Nike missile site. And this past Thursday, we had siren testing. And a lot of people, depending on how old you are, those sounds still scare me because living right next to a Nike missile base, they would have surprise drills all the time. And those alarms would go off. And I'm telling you, I'm close to being 60, but many people of our generation will know that doesn't mean a tornado. That means there are bombers or missiles coming in. We literally had to hide under our desk and all like that. So you tell people that, what does that mean? What's the Cold War? What's a Nike missile? Eventually we had Nike missiles, and then we upgraded to Ajax missiles. We had six sites that protected Milwaukee. It's like we weren't care. We didn't care if we were about to be, have some damage. We were here to protect Milwaukee as a target on a map. So what is that? And that's what Don Brown's bringing up, is some kind of history lessons. And there is some signage that has been approved and it's going to be put up this summer. These are some updates that we were talking about. And they don't know the exact, some of the, there were some mistakes on the signs. They proofed them, they sent them back. They weren't full signs, but basically the signage is going to put up this soon, this summer. And I'm going to get on that. Also, I've been putting Mona, who was with the city, was really working on a lot of this.
Mona's great.
She retired, and I spoke with a man named Mark with the city, and he's working with Mona because there was some people that worked on site that were going to help with this project, both give some insight. There's several people in the city of Waukesha that came here to work at the base, and they liked it so much they stayed. So biggest things that I have is the signage going up, and I patrol, patrol is not the right word. I visit
observe
every single street in my district. I try totally every 2 weeks, but sometimes with the darker weather, it takes me a little bit longer because I'd like to see the entire district in the light. But I definitely check out our parks just to make sure the lights are all working. There's no, you know, abandoned couches or something like that. Whatever you say they do in the park, but everyone I know go to the parks to go on the swings,
clean
up garbage, and read a book on a nice day today. So that's some of the updates that I have.
Okay. And part of this conversation too, even though it isn't in the first district, but it is a part of the community, is the Rempe Farm, the 42-acre Rempe Farm that the city purchased while I was on the council as part of a settlement with the city of New Berlin, who had obstructed the original plan for the pumping station in Minooka Park. And the compromise, the out-of-court settlement, was that the city of New Berlin would pay us $1 million for the damages we incurred. We would move the pumping station to the part of the Nike missile base that goes all the way to Broadway, where Cleveland begins, I should say. And by law, when you're using federal land that's been donated for park space, which was the case with the missile base, you have to swap it with adjacent land and rededicate that and make that the park space that you've taken up. And with that $1 million, we purchased the Rempe Farm that was for sale, that was, again, adjacent to that part where the pumping station is now. And I believe, you know, it connects at some point. It connects all the way back to Hillcrest because it was part of the same complex at one time during the Cold War. But I haven't heard anything about that. And I've had my ideas that I've shared publicly that it could be a great, there's definitely enough space to put in a very large sports complex, which would.
Some plans were submitted, and something that you, last time I was on your program, and we also talked in person a couple times about this, there was, you were concerned about some deadlines that we had to meet for that. And I was told that we did meet those deadlines. We submitted some outer perimeter hiking trails, so to speak, and that satisfied the requirements with the federal government. Now, does it have to be exactly this shape, you know, or whatever shape it can be? They submitted something, and they liked that. I mean, ultimately, there's still design, and it has to go through common council, but the land actually was Waukesha Utility, and utility cannot hold it. Any land or own any land, so that was turned over to the city of Waukesha Parks Department. So that how that transition took place.
I'm sorry, say that again about the utility. Like, what is that part of the Rempe Farm? Or
the way it was explained to me was that it was part of it was to be taken over and monitored by the water utility, but a utility cannot own, at least the Waukesha Water Utility, own any land. Yeah. But since it's facilitated in feeding water to the city of Waukesha, the city of Waukesha is now, as you say, you know, a steward of that land. So that's,
I get it.
That's how that transitions.
With the pumping station, you mean, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. No, that makes sense. Yeah. No, for me, it's, as you know, we travel a lot in the warm weather, well, and even the cold weather, knowing what our springs and falls are like, to different softball tournaments. My daughter's been a softball player for several years now with the Blazers and with Ethic. And you go to these communities, these second cities, similar to Waukesha in some ways, and enough respects in terms of parks and land space. And you have parks that are utilized for softball and baseball tournaments. And in the summertime, you're attracting, you know, hundreds of out-of-town guests, which means lots of hotel rooms, which means a lot of tables and restaurants, means, you know, gas, whatever it is people buy locally when they're traveling. I think there's a real opportunity for us, and I think we're missing that opportunity. We're leaving money on the table, especially with the new hotels coming up in the city, to capture this. We're talking about a $19 billion youth sports industry, which I've coined as the new Jim Crow, and us as a city with a very robust parks program, an excellent, you know, they're all like fantastic people. So I don't want this to be a judgment on them, but what I am concerned, or where I question the leadership, is why are we not exploring the use of the Rempe Farm for something like that? Because with 42 acres, you still have plenty of space for hiking trails and maybe disc golf or bike trails or whatever it is people like to do outside. Some natural areas that are undisturbed, but still utilize some of that space to have an indoor-outdoor sports complex, similar to like the OAW complex in New Berlin, but obviously an opportunity to be much more dynamic and with good outdoor space to transcend what they do, and yet have a facility that makes these sports affordable to our lower-income families, even middle-income families, as well as, I mean, with all the clubs that we have in Waukesha, the programming would be an automatic. We could fill. I remember when Kevin Lehner was the city administrator, we were actually looking at that, like forming a federation of the clubs where you could have a universal schedule for practices and games and all of those things. So the revenue component's already kind of built in those respects. But then you could also have a hospitality component to an indoor facility where you could host receptions and team parties and celebrations of life and baptisms, all of those things. And I've yet to hear anybody but myself and you have a conversation about this.
Well, I know what we're talking about is always talking about being fiscally responsible. And there has been so many changes and delays from everything from used to be able to get a fire truck in a year. Now it takes 10 years to get a fire truck. A fire truck used to be $600,000. Now it's 1.2. So sure. Everyone has every department in the city has wants and needs. And that's been a big focus to get caught up on that. So I've been on council for 3 years, and the biggest things we talk about parks wise is upgrading the parks that we have. And sure. Your family goes to a park right by my house. Obviously we meet Banting, over there occasionally.
Yeah.
Banting and Predominant Park. So it's just, we're currently updating and pretty much all the parks. I think 10 years ago, before you and I both started, they had a plan about lighting in the parks, upgrading the newer style bases and the pop-up fly balls, that new netting and the new fencing they've been putting up. There's been some requirements from the state of Wisconsin, various athletic codes or suggestions. So we're looking at the parks that we currently have, at least in the next 2 years for sure, getting those updated. So I know that's what the main focus is on, not saying we're not talking about that, but what we talk about now is getting the existing parks
up to date. And that makes sense. And I'm sensitive to the fact that there is I don't want to call it a crisis, but there is a financial situation with the city where we have to be more austere with our budget and our choices. I just see there's opportunities for revenue generation with the parks, especially if we can get some private sponsorships and partners in that. So 1 minute left, Mike, what is it you want to share with viewers that we haven't discussed? I know I've hogged a lot of the
Air time. Biggest thing is it's real easy to talk about all the stuff going on in District 1 and the new restaurants that are going up. I'm not going to plug names, but we got some new restaurants opening them up. The biggest thing is make sure that whether you even like social media, make sure that you're on the city's website or visit the city's website, the city's Facebook page. Whether you use social media or not, it's just basically to tell you all about what's going at the library, what's going all about in our city parks, you know, the scavenger hunts, the hide a fox statue, and the various scavenger hunts that they have.
We have the tree walk too.
We have some new people coming into town, and I go there, and sometimes I've met people. We've been here 4 years. We haven't heard anything about that. So just get on as many things, whether even if it's a City of Waukesha email list, so you know what's happening. Also downtown at Cutler Park, they have three or four bands. We saw two of them last year. These tribute bands, yes, it doesn't sound or look like Billy Joel, but it's really close. The Queen was fantastic. Fleetwood Mac, fantastic.
Well, if you remember, because of the construction of Cutler, a couple of those events were held at the Frame Park Amphitheater, which I thought was brilliant, because that's an excellent space that
it is.
I would definitely love to see us make more use of. So I'm glad you shared that. So First District Alderman Mike Rosine, congratulations on your reelection. I know the district and our neighborhood is very lucky to have you representing us in the city council. And you and I need to talk soon. I'll probably be giving you a call later today. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. You can catch all the podcasts on civicmedia.us/shows. And again, I want to thank Mike Rosine. I want to thank all of you. Please remember that safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer, and see ya!